Just because you wrestle alligators for a living doesn't mean you should have the skin of one. Say goodbye to dry and cracked skin with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash with vitamin B3. Made for 24/7 renewing moisturization with daily use. With scents of vanilla and shea, people will think you've taken up candle making as one of your hobbies. And there is nothing wrong with that. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. Shop Old Spice now.
All right, Sunday morning, we have the most famous race on the F1 circuit, all the glitz and glam of the Monaco Grand Prix. Our pre-race coverage begins 7:30 Eastern with Grand Prix Sunday. The race starts 9 a.m. Eastern on ABC and on the ESPN app. And with that, we welcome you back to our studios. As always, we are live from the Seaport. We are brought to you by Chase. We got a full house working today. Monica McNutt is here with all the basketball, but Diana's been hanging out with Aaron Rodgers.
Big time.
There in Jersey.
I've become his favorite person. Usually he's a little cold to me in the morning, like, hey, how are you? Now he's like, hello,
I get it.
Come sit next to me. Let's hang out. Let's go to lunch.
Well, I need updates. I mean, I need to know exactly what's going on. We're making plans. We got social stuff to get working on, all that and more. But we begin this hour with basketball, where tonight, once again, the Celtics will try to stare down elimination, trailing Miami 3-1. Now, good news, bad news. Boston has won 4 straight road elimination games. Tonight, they will have home court disadvantage, if you will, as Wendy has repeatedly reminded us. They actually have a losing record on their home floor in the playoffs the last 2 years. So there's 2 numbers you should be aware of. This is the first one. The Celtics are an 8.5-point favorite tonight at home, according to Caesars Sportsbook. Vegas thinks they're much better. The Basketball Power Index, our analytics, think they're much better. And so do I. So here's the second number I'm going to show you. You've seen this everywhere, right? 0-150, 0-150. That's all time teams trailing 3-0 in a playoff series. But once again, I have seen the future. And the future is this. That graphic will have to be updated once and forevermore. I'm old enough to remember a time, as we bring Wendy and Vince into the conversation here. I'm old enough to remember a time, Brian Windhorst, when they said, you never pick a 16 against a 1 in the NCAA tournament. It's never happened, and it will never happen. All things eventually happen. And it feels to me like this is the opportunity. Wendy, why are you shaking your head like that at me disapprovingly?
It's all conventional wisdom. Conventional wisdom doesn't mean anything in this series. I'm telling you, if you think conventionally, you're going to keep having egg on your face. The Heat have 8 wins as underdogs in this postseason. It's the second most all time. By the time it's over, they're probably going to be the first most all time. The Celtics, as you mentioned, have a losing record at home. The Heat have 5 road wins in this playoffs. If you want to say that they're the favorite, the Celtics are the favorite, you do you. I say nobody knows anything when it comes to these 2 teams.
That's fair. And so, Wendy, let me try and win you over with this. The only thing I think I know is that the Celtics are a better team, or at least they should be a better team. Look, this is going to sound like I'm diminishing the Heat. The Heat are ridiculous. I can't believe what they're doing with the people they have doing it. Jimmy Butler is absolutely brilliant. He's been the best player in the East in these playoffs, let's put it that way. And Eric Spoelstra might be proving he's the best coach in the sport. But up and down that roster, Wendy, the Celtics should be the best team in the league. I know they don't play that way often enough. But generally, when their backs are up against the wall, they have, and I'm counting on the fact that they will continue to. Does that buy you over at all?
After watching the Celtics in person the last 2 playoff runs, do you know how many nights I've spent in this hotel that I'm at right now in Boston? Dozens the last 2 years. Yeah. I'm going to tell you that very oddly, the Celtics do not play well when they're marginally ahead in games. They play their best when they are behind, and they play their best when they're way ahead. So I would say tonight's game, if you are a Celtics fan, you probably want them to be down going into the second half and the fourth quarter. If they're up 4-6 points, look out.
Okay, so every, as Wendy says, down is up, up is down. Let me try and get an explanation for my players here, Monica McNutt and Vince Carter. VC, I'll start with you. How does one explain a team that is as inconsistent as the Celtics are? How do you explain a team that plays below the level of its talent in big moments as often as they do? How do you explain a team that some nights look like they are the best team in the NBA and it's not even close, and other nights look as discombobulated as they do? How do you explain it?
It's hard to explain because they're so talented, and now they have a lot of experience, and we've seen this over the last couple of years with the Boston Celtics, but they've found ways to survive and advance and keep themselves alive. Obviously, they didn't get it done last year, and it's just weird. Like, listen to Wendy talk. You're just like, you look at those numbers, and it's like, oh, man, like, as a team, you dream of going into the fourth quarter being ahead, because now you say you want to control the game. All you have to do is take care of the basketball. And then there's teams like you're saying, you have to look at Boston Celtics the other way around. Like, they need to be down. It's like you need to have your back against the wall to bring out the best in you. And that's not a great feeling when you're down in a series, in a closeout game at that, with the Jimmy Butler, who's playing outstanding, with the Miami defense that has the capabilities of locking down and putting the stranglehold on your offense. So I can't explain it, but they're going to have to find a way. And first and foremost, they're going to have to defend and take care of the basketball. Mm-hmm. Jason Tatum played great, but five turnovers. He had half of their turnovers. And you can't have that, particularly if you don't play well at home.
McNutt is nodding along. Go ahead.
I was listening to you ask that question, and I think consistency is kind of the secret sauce of life and to the successful, right? Like, the teams that find a way to be most consistent in their identity are the most successful. And I'm not knocking the Celtics at all, because I wouldn't use the phrase better team, but more talent for sure, without question. But what we've seen from Miami is a team that is certain in their identity in terms of basketball and their character, right? There is no way that a game is tight and Jimmy Butler doesn't have the basketball. Perhaps that is because of the roster in and of itself, but it's also because they know exactly who they are and who their guy is. There's no game where you would say the Heat are going to be outworked. That's just not who they are. And so I think what we've seen from the Celtics as far as the inconsistency goes is almost by fault of their talent and their riches. Sometimes we all do it. It's a human experience, right? I got it. I can clean up the mess. I can make up the deficit, whatever it is. And it hasn't panned out. The Heat have played with a level of urgency that the Celtics, in general, through this series, just have not been able to
match. Well, you make such a fascinating distinction there, because you just actually defined it better than I did. They have more talent.
For sure.
That's the better way. That's what I should be saying. Mm-hmm. The Celtics definitively have more talent, and I'm taking that and saying, thus, they are the better team. And what you're telling me is the team with the most talent doesn't necessarily mean they are the better team.
Absolutely. In this particular series, that has not been the case. It is the urgency with which the Heat have played with. And if you take game four out of this equation, games one and two, like, they are just rolling, right? Like, they are outworking, out hustling, all the things. And I'm not taking away how good Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown are. They are terrific in this league, bar none. But on that particular night, the Heat, time and time again, just outworked them. And as much as the NBA, the series are the setup, you got to win four, the Heat only have to win one. And I think I would feel different about that 150 stat, perhaps, if these two teams had not met in the same place last year and Jimmy Butler wasn't on the mission that he's clearly on.
Yeah, but Butler's playing better than he was. I remember in the middle of that series last year, we were wondering about Jimmy Butler, and now all of the Heat got hot late in that series. He's just been brilliant from the moment these playoffs began. Wendy, let's talk about one other factor in this that we should. Gabe Vincent is one of the many unsung, what's the right way to describe him? You know, heroes the Heat have, players who don't have big names and big reputations who've played huge. But he's got an injury here. What can you tell us, and what does it mean?
Yeah, so he sprained his left ankle in the second half of that Game 4 victory. It looked pretty bad to me. The Heat gave it some testing yesterday and listed him as questionable for tonight's Game 5. That's actually good news, because I thought that was going to be missed time type of injury. If he is limited, look for Kyle Lowry potentially to play more and Jimmy Butler to handle the ball more. Gabe Vincent is not a bit player. He had 29 points in Game 3, had 17 points in Game 4 before the injury. He's a key player, and the Heat are already down two guards, Tyler Herro and Victor Oladipo, out for the playoffs with their injuries. So this is a key thing to see, whether or not he can play one, and two, whether he can be effective enough to start.
And so, VC, when we mentioned this earlier, you brought up that they have Kyle Lowry, who obviously has championship experience. But if the ball is in Jimmy Butler's hands more, take me on the floor. What does that, as the fans who are getting set to watch this game tonight, what does it actually mean for the Heat and for the game in general if Jimmy Butler is forced to have the ball in his hands and initiating the offense more?
It means whoever's in front of him better be able to move his feet, because Jimmy understands that you're missing a guy in Gabe Vincent who's not going to give you, who's not on the floor or can't give you that, you know, that burst of offense that you need. So Jimmy Butler says what? Oh, let me go out there and get it done. You know, Jimmy is that kind of guy, and Jimmy's been that guy all year long, where he's empowered other guys. He's given other guys the opportunity to be themselves. And Gabe Vincent talked about that. He said, the one thing that's given me confidence is our superstar allowing me to go out there and do what I do. Well, now if he's seeing that that one guy's not out there or they're not getting it done, we've seen Jimmy Butler just say, you know what? All right, give me some room. When I throw you the ball, shoot the ball, knock it down, mm-hmm. but I'm going to get it. And he's going to put the pressure on whoever is standing in front of him, whether it's Grant Williams, whether it's Tatum, whether it's who, it doesn't matter. Marcus Smart, it doesn't matter. So I look for Jimmy Butler to really, you know, impose his will in this game. But I also think Kyle Lowry is like a huge backup plan. This guy was the starter. This guy has the a basketball IQ. He understands the moment, and he's been in situations where it's a closeout game, and he rises to the occasion as well. So he'll give Jimmy Butler a lift and somebody else that he can rely on.
I love that, BC, but I think this one to me is going to come down to the same thing we saw in game four, the Celtics' ability to defend. When they committed defensively mm-hmm. and were able to get out in transition or even early in their shot clock, as opposed to coming down in the half court and then you're kind of looking like, why is this so stagnant? The Celtics have to be able to move fast. And so that's probably the side that I wonder a little bit about Jimmy Butler, if he has to run the one, just the overall toll. But we certainly know Jimmy Butler is in that class of superstar that's considered a two-way guy. So it'll be interesting to see, but you definitely got to get ready for him if he's barreling down the floor as the one.
I don't think it's overstating it to say that Jimmy Butler is playing his way into a Hall of Fame kind of scenario with the way he's playing right now. His career is such an unusual one. He's gone from place to place. Everywhere he goes, they win. Everywhere he leaves, they lose. Mm-hmm. And here he is. If he leads this team, one more win, to an NBA Finals, I think it would be the greatest accomplishment of what I think is turning into a Hall of Fame career. All right, we will see if everyone agrees with me with their picks a little bit later in this hour as we continue. But coming up, here we go again. Kyrie Irving has spoken. We'll tell you what he's really saying and how it will ultimately impact LeBron James and Anthony Davis as we continue. Plus, Aaron Rodgers rejuvenated in New York. We'll tell you what impact he's already had on the Jets. 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 Jets, as we get up with you on ESPN. All right, we're back on Get Up. Some football conversation. The game is more or less. Hey, Dominique Foxworth, will Lamar Jackson have more or less than 800 rushing yards this season?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance that he'll have more, even though he hopes to, and I expect him to run less. I expect the times when he does run to be big plays, and that's less than 50 yards a game, which is something Lamar can certainly do. So I see him still getting more, even though he runs less.
I agree with that. Lewis Riddick, how about Dak Prescott? Will he throw more or less than 12 interceptions?
I don't think it's without question that it's going to be less. I think it has to be in the low single digits. I think the upside has to be at the very most 5 to 6. Look, I think efficiency, decision-making, accuracy is all going to be, you know, at the forefront of his mind every time he drops back. Not that he's going to have paralysis by analysis, but I expect him to rebound in a big, big way this season.
All right, and then Diana, let's go to the man that you've been covering for the last couple of weeks. Will Aaron Rodgers throw for more or less than 25 touchdowns?
It's Christmas in May for you, Mike. I'm going more. When he's played in 15 games when he was with the Green Bay Packers, he had 25-plus touchdowns already. So now here he is in New York with his favorite offensive coordinator, with the rookie offensive player of the year, along with a run game that could be great if Breece Hall comes back and is healthy. I don't think he's going to have any issue, especially because he's a great
touchdown. How did we arrive at that number? Feels startlingly low. I mean, is that just for the first half of the season?
Ooh, see, this is, don't go into it this confident, Mike. Settle.
Hey, listen, I've never been this good before. I mean, this is by far the best May I've ever had in my entire life. Let me live in it. Meanwhile, in an interview with Mad Dog Sports yesterday, Rodgers was on with Adam Schein, who's a friend on Mad Dog yesterday, and he was talking about watching the 30 for 30 documentary about the legendary 86 New York Mets who won the World Series and how he's relating that to his new team.
You realize how special it would be to win a championship anywhere, obviously, but I think especially here in New York with a team that hasn't been in the playoffs in 12 years and obviously hasn't been back to the Super Bowl since Broadway Joe.
So the degree to which he's embracing everything, I know every – look, I have been – I'm walking in and out of arenas in Los Angeles, and people are yelling Aaron Rodgers stuff at me as though I've been making a big deal about this on the air over the last couple of months, when in reality, I think, Lewis Riddick, I have practiced enormous restraint considering the magnitude of the circumstances. And candidly, I know that we're early in the process. I don't know why Neek is making that.
It's like the worst self-awareness I've ever seen in my life. Like, you are a pro's pro, but when it comes to Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, you lose your mind.
Well, look, I mean, I will say again, I think when you consider the magnitude of what has happened here, I've undersold the situation. Lewis, what we wondered about, actively wondered about, was that a Rodgers who seemed disgruntled, and we understand the reasons why in his last few years in Green Bay, was that just who he was now, or was that the circumstance? Well, he seems very much gruntled now in New York, and he is giving them everything that we might have hoped he would be and more so far.
Yeah, he's given you everything that you might have hoped so far, because it sounds like the Jets are giving him everything that he wanted when he was in Green Bay. Mainly, as Diana has said, they're setting it up however he wants. Aaron, what do you want to do? How do you want meetings to look? How do you want this offense to look? How do you want the lunchroom to look? How do you want travel to look? What kind of hotels do you want to stay? I'm sure, like, right now he's getting that treatment that he thinks that someone who was a four-time MVP and a first ballot Hall of Famer should get in terms of input, in terms of what the culture of the team should look like, how the meetings should go, how players should be conducting themselves. I think, like, right now, he's probably in the happiest spot that he's ever been in terms of influence. And that may manifest itself in him investing himself into this football team and into this offseason in a way that he never would have done in Green Bay, because he knew that they weren't going to return the same kind of respect or really maybe make the same kind of investment in him in terms of allowing him to have this influence. So it could be the perfect storm. We'll see. We'll see. Look, it's early, man. It's May. We haven't even gotten to training camp. So let's just see how it all goes. But this is as good as you could have hoped for it to start, which is something we discussed a ton and something I was very skeptical of. Hey, call me impressed so far up to this point.
So he's impressed. How about you, Nate?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I was impressed, but I'm not impressed. It's early in the process. And to be fair to Aaron Rodgers, there's not much he can do right now that would make me say, wow, he's a four-time MVP. Showing up to OTAs is not going to impress me when I know that is his level of achievement. So I'll be impressed when he starts doing it on the field. And honestly, I'll be really impressed when there are some setbacks. And then he really demonstrates the type of leader that we know that he's capable of being, the type of player that he's capable of being. But I can't be impressed now. As Lewis said, it's May.
Yeah, that's fair. And by the way, if I seem distracted, it's because I've been on the road, and so I haven't seen all this video of him at training camp so far. Just keep rolling this. I'm delighted watching it as we talk.
It's amazing to watch Love right in front of you. I have not seen Love like this.
Yeah, go, Lewis.
Can I jump in and say this? See, on the flip side of this, I'm going to give Aaron the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to tell you why I am impressed. Because, see, if he wasn't there, if he was off doing other things right now and he was saying, hey, look, I'll be there when mandatory mini camp comes up, and then maybe I'll spend some time there in early July before we go to camp, people would be all over him. They'd be saying, see, that's exactly what people like me would be all over him, saying that's exactly what you did in Green Bay. That's exactly why you started slow. Then you started talking about how these young wide receivers didn't know what the adjustments were off the routes, and this is why you guys couldn't get going. So I'm going to give him his props right now, because he's doing things I was skeptical of. I was skeptical of whether or not he would show up at this point in time and be this happy outwardly. Yeah. I mean, he looks like someone who's just like, man, this is how a Hall of Fame quarterback is supposed to be treated.
Yeah, it's like, exactly. That's exactly what it looks like. He's being appreciated. He's being heard. And look, we know how it ended in Green Bay. He was run out of town, right? We know it ended badly there. So now here he is with the New York Jets, who are there standing there with their arms wide open saying, tell us what you want. We will do it. And this is smart business by the Jets. Allow him, because he is particular and he has a certain style and a certain way of doing things. And it's going to work if they continue to listen. And if it continues to be a contagious culture, which, guys, I know we're a month in. Dom, I hear you. I'm listening to everything you're saying.
I changed my mind. But when I'm on the other side now. I'm impressed.
But when
now.
I'm talking to people in this Jets building, who I've had conversations with for years, they sound reinvigorated. They sound enthusiastic.
But you know what also?
That's important.
Go ahead, Lewis.
They have no, the Jets have no other choice, though. They have no other choice. You don't make this move unless you're willing to go ahead and give them everything and give him everything that he wants. I mean, they have no other choice. I mean, this is coming from the very top. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that Woody Johnson is like, this is what he
wanted. We've been doing this long enough to know there's organizations out there that would mess this up. There are teams that would mess this up.
Well, they still might mess it up.
They could, but for now, out of the gate, for the way this is, him showing up being all in and then being all in, this is a great way to start.
They're still not winning the division, though.
Can I just throw in at the risk of being accused of taking a side in all of this? Is that, do you think Michael Jordan would have just shown up someplace on a new team and said, yeah, how do you guys like to run things here? I'll do it your way. Do we think any great quarterback does that? Do we think any great superstar does that?
No, of course not.
When LeBron James shows up on a new team, do you think he walks in and says, how do you guys like to conduct practice?
Yeah.
No, you go get Aaron Rodgers because he does this stuff. Yeah. That's the point.
But, you know,
and Dominique Foxworth. Lewis. Go ahead.
No, even with all this hype, they still ain't winning the division, though, Greeny. So, you know, that's
that. No, don't do that to me. This is May. We can win the division in May. We'll worry about what really happens in October. But the point of it, Dominic, that I'm making is that this could easily not have happened. We were having these conversations about, well, when does he really need to be there by? At what point should I start worrying about this? There is nothing to worry about
He's
right now.
He's stopping meetings and quizzing guys, right? We're doing this in May?
This is
fantastic leadership.
This is about as good as it could possibly get. I refuse. Dominique Foxworth, I refuse. I'm not even looking at the faces that you're making in my direction anymore. I refuse to accept them.
I'm impressed.
As we continue, another particular superstar, LeBron James, hinting at retirement. You'll hear why the timing of his decision is critical. You'll hear what the Lakers might be on the verge of doing next. But actually, we got sneaky Darius working this morning here. And this one is for Neek. So, Neek, let's come back to you on this. We were just talking about the Jets. We know their quarterback situation last year was a mess. So with that question in mind, what team threw the fewest touchdown passes last year in the entire NFL? That's the question. The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, Dominic Foxworth, I think you got a good shot at this one. So, we talked about the Jets and how badly they needed help at quarterback. But the question is this. Which team in the NFL actually threw the fewest touchdown passes last year?
I have no clue. So, obviously, it's a team that's not that good. But I feel like if it were the Texans, then that would not be sneaky enough. So, I'm thinking it's a team like the Bears that actually ran a lot of touchdowns and but didn't throw a lot of touchdowns. Or maybe it's the Jets just because it's the Jets.
And yet, it is a team that you would never even consider, and that's what makes it so sneaky. The Pittsburgh Steelers threw for just 12 touchdowns last year. Kenny Pickett threw 7. Mitch Trubisky threw 4. Chase Claypool threw 1 of them. The Steelers threw the fewest touchdown passes of any team in the league.
I like Kenny Pickett, too.
Indeed. Yeah. Neek, stay with me. I'm going to get you into the basketball conversation that we're about to get into. But first, let me bring in the Windy Watch. The fingers are up in the air. Windy, you made a fascinating point this morning in our meeting that I wanted you to share with everyone about one thing you're watching with the Lakers this offseason that not enough people are talking about.
Yeah, no one's talking about the fact that they've got to have a contract extension discussion with Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis only has one guaranteed year left on his contract. He can become a free agent next summer of 2024. The Lakers, starting in August, are eligible to add 3 years and about $167 million at the max level for AD, who is in his early 30s and still in his prime. My suspicion is that the Lakers will want to do that because the last thing that you want is Anthony Davis facing free agency. But obviously, Anthony Davis is going to have to sit there and watch what the Lakers do in June and July before making this decision in August. You know, there's a number of players this year, Greeny, that have big contract choice decisions about extensions, not necessarily free agents, but can determine what 2024 free agency is going to look like. And AD is right at the top of that list.
All right, so that's an interesting one. And so I want to bring the whole group in on this because Anthony Davis has become something of a lightning rod topic here. Very, very interesting. Very fascinating. Look, the only one not doing it is Windy, which is hilarious. All the rest of us are doing the Windy, and Windy himself is not doing it. But, Neek, you used an interesting expression in our meeting this morning, which is the reason I wanted you in this conversation, to describe the way we, maybe even I, talk about Davis on this program. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, this is generally frustrating to listen to people move the goalposts on Anthony Davis. And it seemed like before these playoffs started, the expectation was that can Anthony Davis be a contributor? Can he stay healthy? These were the questions that we asked about him, and we're acting as if this team was a team that we expected to be here and that they're coming up short now. No, they've vastly overachieved. They got a 7 seed, and they got all the way to the conference finals and then got smashed by the better team, or not even smashed, but swept by the better team. I think AD has kind of met the expectations and kind of gotten past those expectations in many cases. And every time there's some, misstep, I understand that he does not play at Jokic level every single night, but who does? The man's been great for the course of this playoffs, and I think he's honestly been more important to this team over this run, his defensive presence especially, than LeBron James has, despite the fact that LeBron tried to put them on his back in game 4.
Okay, so with that, you took it much too far. But let's go back to the previous piece of the expression that you used when you said we moved the goalpost on Anthony Davis. I like that. And because I think it is an interesting way of framing the conversation about a star player who is somewhat polarizing to some degree, not personally, but as a player. Monica, do you believe that people, when we talk about Anthony Davis, that we move the goalpost?
I do. And I think this, too, is the reality of the Lakers being swept, which is uncomfortable. But I think in this conversation, you still got to give some credit to the Nuggets, who were really, really good. Anthony Davis played well. Look at those numbers. That was a double-double. He had some games where he did have scoring outbursts. Like, he played well in the course of this series, and they just came up short. And so I think that the other part of this is potential is a beautiful thing until it is something that you just have to deal with that is not going to be realized. And this version of Anthony Davis is an all-NBA caliber guy, is an all-defensive caliber guy. If he does not ever become Nikola Jokic, then cool. So I think that's more of our problem as a collective when you have this conversation about Anthony Davis than anyone who has to be his teammate, because they are honest about who he is and what he brings.
All right, VC, help me with this, because when we talk about moving the goalpost, I feel like it has been moved tremendously in order to accommodate the way we talk about Anthony Davis now, which is to say, I'm still remembering when we thought Anthony Davis was supposed to be the best player on a championship team. He was clearly going to be a guy you could build an NBA champion around. That's where the goalpost originally was on Anthony Davis. He came out of college with people comparing him to Bill Russell, and he developed an offensive game, and he was shooting threes before other bigs were shooting threes. So that's where the goalpost began. VC, you've actually played against the guy. You tell me about him.
Yeah. Well, let's be clear here. In sports in general, the goalpost gets moved from game to game, series to series in any sport. And he was up and down in series prior. So we're like, can he be consistent? Well, he was consistent. He just ran into a better player. But yes, Anthony Davis has the potential to be one of the best. And, you know, sometimes I think it's the what he hears, the outside noise sometimes, that gets to players. I've been in locker rooms where, you know, guys are affected by what's said or what we call the outside noise, whether it's social media, us on TV or whatever, but that tends to affect guys. And sometimes I think that stuff bothers him because of what we're saying, because we're saying, can he stay healthy? Well, when he stays healthy, we're not saying that he's not that guy, because he is that guy. So it's like putting it all together and staying healthy consistently. Because let's say, where will we put Anthony Davis if he plays 75 games and he has a great season? Where will that goalpost move then? So, yes, I think it's just it's month to month, game to game, series to series.
Let's get a final thought from Wendy on this, and then I'll swing it to the other. If they're going to stay together, I mean, do you think LeBron's vision of this is still he and Anthony? Like, they won a championship in the bubble, and I will never take that away from them. I was on the air at that time saying we should never diminish what these teams do in the bubble, and I refuse to do it. So he is an NBA champion, and they did it together once. Can they do it together again?
I think so. I think, you know, they have had injuries to each of them that have impacted the seasons, and the Russell Westbrook trade just didn't work, and so that hurt them for a period too. But they still have a third act with them, with each other as teammates here, as the Lakers look to go add another piece or two to try to get past this conference finals round in the future. And I think that would include making sure he's locked up, even at that huge number, in excess of $50 million a year on average.
All right, so that perfectly brings us to the next piece here, because in that third act, will there be a new supporting actor? Or in this case, maybe he would actually be a co-lead in all of this, and that would be a guy named Kyrie Irving, who was on social media yesterday, and he was protesting all of this. Here was Kyrie Irving yesterday.
Stop mentioning me on Twitter. All y'all fan bases, stop mentioning me right now, please. It is still the Western Conference and Eastern Conference Finals. Can y'all please leave me the f*** out of this? Please, can I just be with my family in peace? Y'all got people at my dinner table discussing what my free agency plans are. I see all y'all mentions. Okay, I said it. I see all y'all stuff y'all be saying. I see all y'all fan base. I get it. I get it. I'm just as excited as y'all are. But you gotta chill, though.
Okay, so look, I understand this, Dominique, because well, go ahead, Nick. Go ahead. Just interpret that one for us.
If you want somebody to stop talking about you, you know what you don't do? Do an Instagram live about it. Like, it just seems like he wants this attention. And like, if there's someone who behaves in a way that doesn't make sense to me once and they're super talented, all right, bring them on my team. They do it twice, they got to be really, really talented. But he's done a whole lot of things that don't make sense to me. And I don't know about adding that into any recipe, even if the chef there is LeBron James.
Look, I understand Kyrie's frustration with this. He has done his best to lay low and stay out of the public sight and not be conspicuously Oh, I'm sorry. He was sitting right in the front row at the Laker game the other night. Oh, scratch that part. Okay, Kyrie. It's obvious why no one would be talking about your potential interest in teaming up with LeBron and the Lakers. All right, so all kidding aside, Wendy, could it happen? Let's start with that, because I'm 100% of the belief that if Kyrie Irving is ever going to be win a championship again, it's going to be with this team. Now, I don't know that that's going to work. I don't know if this is the right answer, but it is certainly an answer. Wendy, Kyrie to the Lakers, yes or no?
Well, I would just say that the Dallas Mavericks have, you know, grand plans this offseason to make a major splash to try to keep Kyrie and add to what's going on around Luka Doncic. So I think any discussion about Kyrie, part of what's going on here is the Mavericks are under some pressure to do something, and they have the number 10 pick in the draft that they can use to facilitate it. When it comes to Kyrie and the Lakers, again, I'll keep saying this. Most scenarios would require Kyrie Irving to take below his market value in terms of the average annual salary. So that's a huge factor. But yes, the Lakers can get to a meaningful contract for him. And I will say, again, the best running mate in terms of fit in the backcourt LeBron has had in his career, in my opinion, is Kyrie Irving. The way that their two games mesh together is perfect for LeBron, especially at this age where he needs somebody else to handle the ball and take so much of the scoring load as a perimeter player.
Let me ask my players to put him on the floor with this team right now. Again, we don't know exactly what the makeup of it would look like, but Monica, put Kyrie Irving on the floor with this team. How good are they?
Well, I mean, I think the instant thought would be it's a D'Angelo Russell upgrade, right? Like, you got somebody that can shoot the ball, that can create off the dribble for himself, and has the wherewithal to find his teammates at a high level. If you put him in the pick and roll with Anthony Davis, you put him in the pick and roll with LeBron James. Like, that's a tough decision for defenders to have to make. And so the basketball of it all is never a question. And I actually buy that there's enough equity between Kyrie and LeBron as men, as players, and of course, as teammates that won together, that the basketball would be the lead thing if the Lakers can make this happen and Kyrie wants to be there.
What do you think, VC? Put Kyrie Irving on the Lakers. Is that a championship team?
It is a championship caliber team, but what does the rest of that roster look like? I mean, Wendy said it. It's like the money. It's important to me because you think of what that team looked like before. It, you know, you had superstar players. Yes, it didn't work out with Russell Westbrook, but you still didn't have a depth. You didn't have shooting. You didn't have, and then you had to make it happen. So I just want to know. Yeah. Kyrie Irving anywhere is great on the basketball court because he could do everything. But what do you have to give up? How can you make that work and still have a very good basketball team to compete? Because, yes, it Kyrie Irving over D'Angelo Russell, no-brainer. He still had to guard that guy, Jamal Murray, though.
No question about it. Yeah. I understand it. But for everyone telling me how it'll compromise the Lakers' defense in this series, they gave up 113, 119, 108, and 132 points. The defense was not the reason that they were about to win. They need Kyrie Irving. Let's see if they can make it happen. Meanwhile, more basketball as we continue in a moment. History in the making. Can the C's give another grade A performance on their way to a comeback no one has ever seen before? We make our picks for tonight's Game 5. Next, get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We are rolling along again here on Get Up, and once again, I stake my reputation as a basketball prognosticator, of which I have none, on the following prediction: that this graphic, by this time next week, will forever be changed to 1-150. I believe the Boston Celtics are going to become the first team ever to overcome a Love 3 deficit in the history of the NBA. And I want to bring the entire crew in on this, and I actually want to bring Lewis Riddick in on this conversation as well, and I will tell you why. Because I am an ardent follower of Lewis Riddick on Twitter, and no one is a better basketball follow than Lewis is. During Game 3 of Celtics Heat, Lewis tweeted, and I quote, "Celtics body language, effort, grit, intestinal fortitude, whatever, all suck. So disappointing to watch." And then he wrote, "Don't get me wrong, I'm a huge Tatum guy. Love the dude and what he represents, so I pull for them. But they don't play with urgency and consistent toughness." And I think, Lewis, you were speaking for a lot of people when you said that. And then Game 4 happened, and all of a sudden it comes. So this is why I wanted to ask those of you who make your living, you live every day in sports and played the game as you did at the highest level, Lewis, even if it was a different sport. How does one explain a team that is as maddeningly inconsistent but as talented as the Celtics are?
Well, Grady, you know what? I was waiting to pick up some food lately for my family, and I ran into a Barnes & Noble just looking to buy a book, and I bought this book, and it's called Grit by Angela Duckworth. I don't know if you can see it.
Yeah.
And what I was reading in this, when I looked, you know, immediately in this book, it's about the power of passion and perseverance. That's what makes high-end achievers special. That's what takes the good guys to great, you know, the great guys to, like, iconic status. That passion and perseverance. Like, I just don't see it consistently with the Celtics. They are talented as hell. They have got guys all over the court who have length, can shoot threes, can rebound, can run, get out in transition, they can defend. But sometimes you look at them, and their faces just look blank. I mean, they just literally look blank. I mean, when you're thinking about, look, Game 3, I mean, they were sitting there. I mean, they got pulled out of the game, and they're sitting there, and they had these blank stares on their face, and I'm going, what the hell is that? Like, why is that? Can you persevere? Can you consistently call upon that kind of passion in a seven-game series enough to where you win four out of seven, obviously? Mm-hmm. And I just don't trust that they can do that. I haven't seen it. Now, look, I'm going to pick them tonight. I'm going to pick them to win because I love Jason Tatum. I'm a huge fan of his. Every time I talk to my son about basketball, I'm like, hey, man, check out Jason Tatum. Watch Jason Tatum. Just watch how he conducts himself. Watch how he plays, how he moves, how he shoots. But, man, it's maddening to watch this team have that blank, non-passionate look on their face. And I just don't trust that they're able to call upon it when they need it the most. We'll see.
So, what Lewis is saying is something that everyone is thinking. Everyone, it seems, except Dominique Foxworth. Nick, why are you making that face?
Because we have seen it, and we just saw it last round when they faced down two closeout games. Like, we've seen them respond with grit. We saw it last year when they were amongst the worst teams in basketball midway through. Then all of a sudden, they're the best team in basketball and get all the way to the finals. We saw it when Jason Tatum went for 51 just a week or so ago. Like, we've seen it from these teams. He's 25-year-old, and he's not even yet at the peak of his career. And I think what's actually happening is the Heat are hitting. And the Celtics live and die by the three. When their three goes in, they're going to beat just about anybody. When it doesn't, they're not. And I don't know. It just feels like we're stretching this off of the result of one game. I mean, I've been blown out before in sports, and I'm not on the sideline smiling. That don't mean that, like, we lack grit. And I think that the Jason Tatum and the Celtics have shown this grit over and over again. They've been ahead of schedule every step of the way. Like I said, the champions, like the great players, normally start to win their championships 27, 28 years old. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, not there yet. They got one bad ass whooping, and we're acting like all of a sudden they soft.
Well, that's fair. Look, the games one and two were nothing to be so proud of. Go ahead, Lewis.
What do you mean one bad ass whooping? Okay, so if they lose tonight, then
Then they lost tonight. Like, I mean, it just the jumping to all the other things is what frustrates me when we talk about this team as if they haven't proven that they can make deep runs and that they can respond to adversity. Like, when I have to listen to people say that they've quit and stuff like that, it kind of frustrates me given what they've done already, particularly what Jason Tatum's done in his career. And I think the results of these games come down to the fact that they are too reliant on three-point shooting. It's not about whether they quit or anything like that.
Dom, you know damn well when a guy looks as though he is not invested and he is not playing at the highest level that he can possibly play at, and he looks like he's checked out. You know the difference between, like, I'm a fan of this team. That's the
I guess
thing.
I just give them some benefit of the doubt.
I'm not looking to just bash them.
I feel like they've earned. I'm,
okay, and you know what?
I feel like
and
they've
you,
earned some benefit
I'm
of the doubt that no one seems to be
them.
Extending that.
All right, I'm so glad I put these guys on because I love the rest of us are just sitting here listening, but I've only got a minute left. Put the picks on the screen, Cindy, so you know where everyone thinks. I'm not asking Wendy to pick the game because he is covering it. Monica McNutt, you're on my side. You've got Boston tonight. Tell me quickly why.
I just think that they do have some level of grit. I think, unfortunately, to your point, Lewis, I think they've dug themselves in too much of a hole. I think the Heat get this done in six, but I do think there is some grit there, and they do deserve some credit, Foxy.
And then, Wendy, as you prepare to cover the game tonight and you've been with the series all the way through, what are the things the fans should be thinking about as we get set for tonight's Game 5?
I think the only thing I can reliably say is the three-pointer will decide it. The Celtics are 37-2 when they shoot over 40%, 29-31 when they shoot under. They shot exactly 40% in Game 4. If you don't want to watch anything else, watch that number.
Yeah, exactly. And Wendy, you opened the show this morning by calling this the Bizarro series, and it certainly has been that, right? And if ever there was a time that something unprecedented might happen, maybe it's in this series where almost nothing that has happened seems to make sense.
It's a completely unpredictable situation. The Celtics tend to lose when you think they're going to win. The Heat tend to win when you think they're going to lose. They have players that perform well in adverse situations, players that don't perform well when you think that they would perform well. It's completely ridiculous. I have no idea. I'm going to show up and find out. I congratulate all of you guys who are making picks. There's zero chance anybody's got a real good idea what's going to happen in this one.
Final word, McNutt.
I guess I'm going to be disappointed then.
We'll see what happens. But I would just add, in this postseason, the Heat have the second most clutch wins behind the Nuggets at 7. So they've got 6, and the Celtics are just 4-6 in tight games. So, Wendy, you could be right, but if this thing is tight down the stretch, we've seen a Heat team that looks a little bit more comfortable.
No, the Celtics have been absolutely terrible late and close. Yeah. I mean, everything that I'm picking goes against exactly what should be happening because they've done everything wrong when it comes to trying to win a series like this, and yet I continue to believe they're going to do it. Why? I guess mine is just that genius
basketball
that will not be fully appreciated until long after my time. All right, delighted we did this, guys. Wendy, enjoy the game tonight. Thank you. First Take coming up. How important is it for the Heat to close it out tonight? Is less running for Lamar a good thing? We'll have Molly, Monica, Wendy, Bart, Lewis, and more on First Take, top of the hour, right here on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
NCAA softball super regionals are coming your way Friday night. Third seed Florida State, 14th seed Georgia, 8 Eastern, and then the 7th seed Washington hosting Louisiana. See it all on ESPN and on ESPN Plus. And before we go, I just want you to see the shot that Braden Montgomery of Stanford hit in Scottsdale in the Pac-12 tournament. This one is up and it is out off the roof and out of the ballpark. That's about as long a home run as you will ever see. Let's see if the Celtics knock it out of the park in tonight's Game 5. We'll be back in Better Than Ever tomorrow. First Take starts now.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.